Let me pray, and then we're going to get started. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, you're our helper and our leader. And so we're together here. We showed up, and we just want to see what you're doing. We want to go with you, pray what you're praying, mourn what you're mourning, celebrate what you're celebrating. I just come and empty myself, my thoughts and feelings and emotions, and I set those down, Lord. I crucify myself with you so that what's left is a vessel for you to use to speak, which you'd love to share with everyone here today, as well as anyone watching online. But we have a great hope, Jesus, and so we worship you because we're small and you're big, and we don't know and you know. And we don't have the power and you do. So we're here, we're surrendered, and we're listening. Speak truth to us. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So we're on a journey together here, talking about the Holy Spirit. If you're just joining us, my name's Will. Hopefully, if you guys just showed up today, you were warmly greeted. And I believe you're here, not by accident, but definitely for a purpose. So typically what we're doing is we're going through a book of the Bible, right? We get a book of the Bible after praying about it. We start marching through it and see what topics pop up. Well, that pesky Holy Spirit, right? He just kind of put this seed in me, and what I began to see is a dynamic at play amongst believers, right? And there's a division based on this portion of our faith, the Holy Spirit, like, right? The God, the Spirit, part of what we call the Trinity, right? Which is not in the Bible, however, we've put a name to it. Lots of religion, and so we've got people arguing on both sides. So we talked about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who he is, the personal nature of him, the fact that as a believer, it's an absolutely necessary thing for you to have the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, if you ever hope to be resurrected from the dead, without the Holy Spirit, that's not happening. He is the power that did that. The problem with this is the minute we get up here and try to talk about something so spectacular, so immense, I mean, look at the Bible, Genesis 2, the world, right? It's dark, it's empty, but somehow the Holy Spirit is like over the expanse of the world. That's huge. And yet we try to come here, and you can imagine us desperately trying to get our arms around this thing that huge to try to understand and fold and stuff into a bag that we can control and know. And there's some inherent problems with that. And so we've done things like created theological ideas. We've taken verbs from the Bible, right? And we've made them nouns, persons, places, or things to be worshiped. And it's created two camps, a division that we've torn down now. And we're here together, all that to say this is a place where I'd love to pursue truth and a middle ground, not out of rebellion, but out of truth. And so we continue on this journey. And I'm inspired a little bit by my wife. She said something to me that really inspired me. If you guys are married, okay, if you're married and God's opened your eyes to this, the partner that God gave you is good at things that you're weak at oftentimes. You can be very different, which creates lots of challenges or opportunities for improvement, as we might say. However, they see things you don't. And something my wife said to me so many times, she says, I always think about this in the Christian world, right? We tackle a Bible study, you look at a book of the Bible, and you're racing to finish it. 10 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, we've got to finish it. And she asked me, where are we going? Why are we in such a rush to get to the end of this? Because what comes next? Another book of the Bible, another Bible study. Like, you're going to do this till you don't have breath left, right? So some of you guys are going to be like, holy cow, Will, would you stop talking about the Holy Spirit? But this is what I'm excited about today, because I had a lot planned, and then God's like, cut it off. cut it off and said, just give them this piece today. So we're going to keep going. It's not a master plan. It's not a book that I'm selling you. This is just what God's putting on my heart every week. And so I'm asking him to lead this. So that's kind of where we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. Now today, we're going to kind of move on. Last week, we talked about probably the most controversial of the gifts in the church, and that is gifts of various tongues. The past 2 weeks, we talked about that. Now, today, I want to move on, okay, to other gifts. But before we get into that, we've got to set some kind of foundations. Plane's taking off. I'm off camera. That was interesting, right? We won't go back there. Would you hold this one for me? Jordan, Tyler, would you guys grab the other three? And Eliana, would you grab one too? And come on up. I'll stay away from that. That's what I get. If you guys would go ahead and stand up front here. Now, why not use human billboards instead of, like, you know, actual slides? Cool, cool. They're much better looking than an easel. So first of all, let's talk about this. Before we get in, let's have you come to this side here. Let's have you and take one step forward. Thank you, Maddie. You're awesome. So let me take you guys. We're going to be in Galatians 5. So if you got your Bibles, you know that trick where you kind of put a marker or your finger in there. So Galatians 5, we'll start there. We'll go to Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. Okay, we're going to talk about gifts of the Spirit. But first of all, there often is confusion about fruit of the Spirit as opposed to gifts given by the Spirit. So Galatians 5, walk with me. Galatians 5, verses 16 through 25. 16 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit. So this is what I want to give to you. This is the why. Okay, I present to you part of our problem with the Holy Spirit is we think about the gifts and we become focused on the thing that's given as opposed to that the one who gives you the gift. Like, all I want to do is prophesy. Why in the world are you prophesying? Just so I can feel good because I prophesy. All I want to do is healing so I can see something miraculous. Well, why do you want to see something miraculous? But then on the other hand, just because we abuse it doesn't mean we should shy away from it because it becomes necessary. These first, what's that? Seven words right there. But I say walk by the Spirit. And I would present to you many Christians, and I'll use the word Christian even though, you know, that's not from the Bible necessarily, will live their whole life and not necessarily walk by the Spirit. And this isn't a heaven or hell thing. But I love what Paul wrote in this letter to the Galatians here. But I say walk by the Spirit. I want to be in a fellowship of believers who every day are longing to walk by the Spirit. To ask God, what are you up to? What do you want me to do? And lead me, and I want to go with you. Not, here's my plan. Get in the backpack, Holy Spirit. Let's go, because I got things to do. That's not how the Christian should live. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Oh, isn't that the problem? Christians live the same as everyone who's not a Christian, only they give up their Sundays and 10% of their income, and they talk about what they can't do rather than the freedom that they get. And the reason why is because we continue to walk in our flesh in such a way that we try to gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. Do you see this? We got opposition. If we don't walk in the Spirit, you're going to walk in the flesh. Okay. Now, quickly, the flesh can mean a word that could mean literally the physical tissue and stuff of a person, but it also is the inner person. So it's the inner and the outer person. It's your emotions, it's your feelings, it's your thoughts, it's your desires. If those drive you, then you're not going to be living and acting and walking in such a way that honors the Spirit. They're at opposition. You can't do both. So the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Okay. Let's be a people led by the Spirit, not the flesh. Then it goes on to say, now the works of the flesh are evident. So if you want to look at this list, if you want to write this down or highlight it, what you're thinking is, if what's coming out of me is this, these things, then you know what's leading. That's the flesh, right? Emotions, desires, feelings. So take a look at the list. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I have warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that should create a little bit of fear in you. If these are the things you're doing all the time, you're walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit, and you should really question about, are you really committed to making Jesus your Lord? Okay, now, hold on a second, because people, we want to go to extremes, right? Ugh, you're trying to tell me I'm going to lose my soul, and you get into all these theological debates. That's not what I'm getting into. If what I'm doing is always following my gut all the time, eating, drinking, you know, sleeping around and doing that, and then going to church on Sunday, you're living in an insanity circle, and you should stop, right? You should get some help. And that help comes from the Holy Spirit. If these things are in your life, let's stop and take action, because you're not walking by the Spirit, you're walking by the flesh. Okay, now, but this is what you really wanted to hear. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Okay, so Maddie, you want to hold this up for me? So Galatians 5. This is not a list. Okay, we got to kind of cleanse our belief systems and come back to the beginning of all truth, right, which is in the Scripture. From that, the Holy Spirit's going to teach us and learn us. This is not a list of what you should do. Well, what do you mean? You don't wake up every day and have your journal and say, am I being faithfulness and gentleness and kindness today? It's backwards, but I feel like this is what I've been preached at for time. And so the minute I'm not loving, the minute I don't have joy, the minute I don't have peace, I don't have patience, then it's convicting and condemning for me. What this is saying, guys, in plain language is, if you're walking in the Spirit, this is just default, the stuff that comes out of you. And they use the metaphor of fruit, right? Lo, we pick apples off the tree. One had red apples, one had green apples. One didn't get to choose which one it had. It was what it was, right? And if it was healthy, fruit came out of it. The tree next to it, which wasn't healthy, nothing came out of it. So the simple metaphor here is, understand, am I walking in the Spirit? Well, look at the fruit. What are you all about? Well, I really struggle with that whole list of the flesh. Well, you're probably not walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, this is the stuff that will come out. Does that make sense, how it's a little different? So let's not get that confused. This is the result of your life, because you're loving God, loving other people as you love yourself. So you begin to have joy about it. You begin to have peace with and patience with people, right? You begin to be kind and gentle. You begin to be self-controlled because you feel in the presence of God. Okay? Cool. Thank you, Maddie. You can stick that back on the wall if you want. Awesome. So that's the first piece. Let's get that out of the way so that we're not confused. So we go from this, we go from the results, which is known as the fruit, of surrendering your flesh, your inner and outer person, to Jesus. When you do that, this is the stuff, this is how your life changes. Now I want to move from that towards this, gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, these gifts, their whole purpose is this. They're supposed to bring us together and unite us with Jesus. Okay, pause. What are the gifts doing in Christendom? They're dividing. They're dividing. Is that fair? Do you guys see that? We're fighting about those all the time. The whole purpose of them, right, whether you think they exist still or not, was to bring us together. So a twisting has happened. And if you were reading from what's written in the Bible, it would tell you who's the great twister, deceiver, perverter of all truth and reality, right? It is the enemy, it is the darkness, it is Satan, and everyone set against you. And so he's winning and loving it. Winning and loving it. The purpose of this is to bring us together and unite us with Jesus, making him known to the world, which is the people we come in contact with. You guys doing okay? Getting those calves and glute workout and stuff? Okay, awesome. Okay, now, if you marked your Bible, Romans 12. Now, both Romans and 1 Corinthians are letters to churches, groups of Christians, in the first century written by what we believe to be written by the Apostle Paul. And so they can speak to what it is to try to live in Christian community. And that's where why you see them talking about this. So turn in your Bibles to Romans 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Why don't you three just go ahead and have a seat down there? I'll pull you up when I need you. That way you're not up here the whole time. You want to go ahead and have a seat right there? Go ahead, you can have a seat too. I'll pull you up when I need you. So the beginning of this, why I have you, I'm trying to give you the whole context of this, is the first thing you do is you present yourself as a living sacrifice, right? You're emptying yourself. If the Holy Spirit's going to fill you and use you in a way, it can't be for your own agenda. It's got to be for God's agenda. So you present yourself as a living sacrifice, which is a spiritual act of worship. Then do not be conformed to this world, verse 2, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern that it is the will of God, which is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, surrender and then transformation. This is the way it works. Here's how it's happening. Verse 3, for by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. Well, Will, why didn't you just cut to the chase and give me the list? I want you to see this. If we go right to the list, we're going to fall into that trap of focusing on the gift rather than the giver of the gift. The whole point of the gift, right, is it's going to unite us, it's going to bring glory to God, and it's going to bring us closer with him. Now, Romans 12, let's go ahead and let's do these motivational gifts. Would you come on up here, Jordan? Now, Romans 12, the beginning of this chapter, which I'm about to get into, this is not now something completely spelt out in the Bible. So this is what I've learned that I'm sharing with you. So take it or leave it. You can think I'm crazy. But these I would call the motivational gifts, I've heard them called. And here's why I'm saying this. I've highlighted in green here these words, the measure of faith that God has assigned. These gifts that Paul's about to explain, they've been assigned to people. They've been based on the measure, right? The amount, the portion of faith, which could be even broader described, like the amount of confidence that you have to use them. So in English, right, in today's English, what it's saying is like, listen, Paul's like saying, God has been graceful, has given me grace because I don't deserve to be where I am, but I'm writing to you so that you know that there's gifts that have been given to each one of you from God how he wants to give them to you based on who you are and based on him knowing who you are and what you'll do with those. You'll notice gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, the lists are a little different, and there's a reason why. Because what I believe is these gifts given to us are something that has been given to you and put into you. It's a direct part of who you are and your motivation. It's a direct part of how you see the world. Okay? That being said, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you're surrendered to God or not, it doesn't keep you from being created by God. Fair enough? Whether you believe in him or not, he still created you. He's given you certain gifts. There's people who have an ability to go in front of a crowd and encourage and exhort them. And some people will do that for the kingdom of God. And some of those will do that for the kingdom of a corporation or a kingdom of a country. And those things aren't necessarily unholy. However, there's a different purpose, but the same gift. I would encourage you, probably, you know, dictators of the past like Hitler would have the same gift as great leaders of the Christian faith in the past. These leadership gifts, these motivational gifts, right? They were created in a way to lead and speak to people. And their ability to surrender their flesh to it, that's what made a difference, whether God could use them or the world would use them. Is that fair? So here's the list. Romans 12, part of verse 6 here. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So what I'm presenting to you is the fact that God has gifted certain people. And I would say that every one of you, if you really looked into this and let God kind of search, you would find which one of these areas you've been really motivated in and like created to do. Does that make sense? Now the danger in this, once again, you're going to take this and you might try to run to the extreme. As Christians, we are changing and being transformed and renewed over time. You guys in agreement with me? I'm kind of lecturing at you too much right now. If I give you a list like this, you feel confined. Some people are excited. Yeah, I want to know more who I am. They take every personality profile, right? They're on like every Enneagram and like every Enneagram that they can get on. They're excited about knowing who they are. Other people are like, don't hold me down. I'm suffocating. You're trying to tell me who I am and limiting what I can do. That's not what I'm saying with this. I have this conviction that when you came to faith, you were a certain way. You had gifts, talents, passions, desires, skills, likes and dislikes. And some of those things, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, will change, and some of them will not. I love to get in front of a group of people and talk with them. My wife, not so much. She has to do it more often now than she used to, but it's still not the thing she wakes up every morning excited to go do. For me, it is. That came before the Holy Spirit really started moving in my life, but it hasn't changed now that he has. But now, instead of doing it in corporations and banks and universities, I do it here with you. For me, I know that my motivational gift is the one who exhorts. What I love to do is the word itself means to try to invite you to come alongside me into what I've found. It's why I love coaching sports. It's why I love doing that. And when I operate from this lens. That's how I see the world. There's good things and bad things about it. My wife, I know you won't mind if I share that, her motivational gift, and we even did a class on this, is the one, right, if prophecy in proportion to our faith. She has that. She's put together where she sees this plumb line of truth. She sees the world in that kind of way, and it colors everything for her. That's where she starts. Okay, thank you, Jordan. You can go and put that down. Let me keep moving on. Okay, another thing that I found fascinating. Maybe you've caught on to this. As we keep talking about the Holy Spirit, keep talking about gifts, Paul is always giving us lists or directions about gifts. And then he always finishes it with love. Did you see that before? Like, all these gifts are great, but you want to do something amazing, love. He keeps doing this, and he does it again. Right? Verse 9, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in the spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. I think what we found in this, as Brandy and I have been studying that, is it's sort of the check and balance to every one of these gifts. Because when you realize God's given you a gift, you begin to try to possess it, and pride gets in the way, or fear. Fear keeps you from using it. Pride makes you abuse it. Let love guide the way. Okay. I could dig into that a lot deeper, but I, before we get into the gifts, I wanted to put that way. So you've got Romans 12, and you can use a different word because this motivation word was not in the Bible. It didn't say that. But what it said is, these were the apportioned gifts to you based on the faith. When God put me together, some of this he knit in the womb, and some of it he's taught me over time. He put me into a big family where I was the oldest of a lot of grandkids, the oldest of the kids. Of course I would develop leadership skills, right? Like, he did that. Part of it, he put that into me. And like, throughout time, I've had all these experiences. And right now I stand before you, imperfect and unfinished. However, everything I've learned, God has taught me through my life so far. And every one of you is the same way, but you start from somewhere. And even though I might start from the view of someone who exhorts, I don't stay there. 1 Corinthians 12. Okay, Eliana, will you come on up here? Now concerning spiritual gifts. I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Well, here's what I want to share with you about this. Did you see at the end that? It's kind of talking, it's like a warning. It's like, you used to go and follow like these false mute idols. And I know you don't anymore, but the important thing is you kind of follow people, you were led, and you were led astray. So Paul, without going in a lot of detail, he gives you a little nugget here. He gives you a little nugget and says, we're going to talk about these spiritual gifts here, but be aware that you have a tendency to just follow people and be misled. When I read this, as I'm asking God to kind of teach me, what I see in the Christian world is you either become oblivious to the lies and the falsehoods out there, or you become like a witch hunter, right? Does that make sense? Like, I want to just find everything that's true. Like, I'm watching everyone, every Christian, every podcast, every musical band, and I want to tear them apart based on theology and correctness. Or I just want to be so oblivious, I'm going to go with whatever. And I think what Paul is saying, understand this. If someone is saying Jesus is accursed, if they're speaking against Jesus, they're not from God. If they're speaking for Jesus, then they're going in the same direction. So don't live in so much fear. As you walk into these gifts, don't live in so much fear. And it's not just Paul that said that. He got this from Jesus. Mark 9, 38 through 41, I wanted to share with you. Teacher, in verse 38, teacher, said John, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said, for no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us, truly I tell you, or whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. Well, I'm bringing this to you because if we're going to venture into this next thing it's saying here, there's a lot of fear and a lot of abuse involved. There's a lot of fear, and there's a lot of abuse. And so as Paul says, we're always testing the Spirit. But as Jesus said, quit freaking out. But Jesus, they're not like part of our team. Can they? I know. Why are you so, I mean, look at you, dude. Like, you're a mess, and you're going to go pick on somebody else. It's back to that, I'm looking at my neighbor's little speck in their eye when I got a plank in mine. And we should all just wear glasses, right, with a big piece of wood on one side, and so we can remember. Like, before you start getting down on somebody else, don't forget what's loving. Don't be afraid. So now let's go into 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's a variety of service, but the same Lord. There are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given, and here's the words, the manifestation of the Spirit. And why is it given? For the common good. Okay, everyone take a little deep breath with me because I'm giving you a lot of information. And I hate doing it, but I have to. So let's breathe in. Now, I want to present to you another list of spiritual gifts that looks a little bit different than the last one. And I've heard them called, and I would call them manifestation gifts. Well, why do you call them manifestation gifts? I'm glad you asked me. Because it says right here, you know, the idea of, how would you explain something that manifests? Somebody help me out. What shows up, someone said? What's that? It becomes? What's that over here? I'm sorry. Unexpected? Okay, so here's what's happened. These are all really great answers. Thank you, guys. I'm glad I fed you those answers before. I'm just kidding. These here are manifest, so they're not there. They're not something that you possess necessarily, okay? But they're manifestations from where? Holy Spirit, good answer. Yeah, there's like the, and we got Bible stickers. Derek will put that right there for you. So what happens is the danger, guys, that we get into when we go into this is that you become possessive of these things as if they're part of who you are. And what I would tell you based on what the scripture says, my study of it in prayer, is the fact that these Romans 12 gifts here say a whole lot more about like how you're put together and how you're wired than your 1 Corinthians 12 gifts. What's happening here is you happen to be in the right position, a position of being emptied and being willing to be used by God. And in that moment, he manifests through the Spirit something in you. Okay. Now, before we run off too far, would it be fair to assume that if God used me for something at one point in time and I had enough faith and trust to step out and do the thing he asked me to do, that he might ask me to do that again? Yeah. And if that happened again, might I do that again? Yeah. Right? Like, if you had a dream and that dream seemed really real and it was about somebody you were in a Bible study with and you ask God, what am I supposed to do with it? Well, I think you should, and then you feel like the Holy Spirit was telling you, go tell Julie that I was just praying for her and I saw this, and this is, I'm praying that she would just receive God's confidence. Whatever it was, right? And then you went and you told Julie and she started like crying like a baby, like, I needed to hear that. I'm so glad that you like love me and that we have this relationship. I bet you the next time you had a dream and then you felt like God told you to tell Joey that something that happened in your dream, you'd probably go tell him, right? Because last time it went over pretty well. Right? Right? Does that make sense? So this is what we get into. So here's the manifestation gifts. You're doing awesome. Thank you. Guys, you guys know Eliana? Eliana, everyone. Everyone, Eliana. She's not one of my kids, but we've been neighbors and I've known her whole life. So anyway, so each gift, the manifestation of the Spirit. The purpose of these is for common good, not to glorify the user. Common good. Got it? Okay. For to one is given through the Spirit, utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Okay, will you hold that up for me? So here's the manifestation. Keep in mind two things right here. First of all, these are the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, right? Who somehow the mystery of it is like over all things and everywhere. His power is like all over the place. He's the one keeping everything going, right? He's applying the work of Christ to the whole world. He's convicting everyone of sin. He's keeping the enemy from overtaking that. He's the one giving you the power to love. He's the one giving you wisdom when you don't have it. He's the one giving you faith. He's the one leading in your prayers. He's the one that's giving you those goosebumps when something spiritual happens. Okay, that's all him. He's so huge, you can't get your arms around him. And however, he seems to dwell in every believer who's received him. There's no temple, a place now. You are the temple of God. Explain that, Rick, and understand that. You just can't. And somehow I have this ability to be filled by him at times and to be used. And sometimes that filling is just like a pouring down, and sometimes it's just a soaking in. First of all, these are manifested. It's not something you trained for. Because you have words like wisdom and knowledge. I mean, you can gain wisdom. You can study and get knowledge. These are supernaturally powered things that happen. And next week, I'm going to dig into these a little bit more, but I wanted to give you this overlay because if you want to look at spiritual gifts, you gotta set that foundation. And so I know it's not like snazzy, it's not bedazzled today. It's a lot of words. But these are manifestations that can come through a believer walking in the Spirit, and they're used for the common good, and they're supernaturally derived. So, you know, I'm gonna use Derek, right? Being an architect, you were trained to do that. Right? So your knowledge in that is not a supernatural thing necessarily. I mean, sure, the Holy Spirit helped you in that. And in a moment, he can give you a view or an observation you didn't have before. But what we're talking about here is not that. We're talking about like, wow, you just, it's what happens when someone would say to me over time, like, how did you know that? Right? Or you find some, like some of these kids say things, and you're like, how in the world do you know that already? It's like, It's supernatural. There's something that's going on. And so you've got utterance of wisdom, utterance of knowledge, faith, working of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing spirits, or distinguishing between spirits, various kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Awesome. Thank you. I want to go ahead and put that down if you would over there. So we want to dig more into that. But I think what we have to, so we have these motivational gifts, we have these manifestation gifts, and then the next part, in the second part of 1 Corinthians 12, we have what I would call ministry gifts. Would you come on up, Tyler? Verse 27 says this, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. God has appointed in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating in various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret, but earnestly desire the higher gifts? Okay. Hey, you guys are doing great. This is like a lot of information. You're not completely glazing over, so I appreciate that. Okay. But if we're going to come to truth, I want you to know, truth. I want to start back at the scripture. I want everyone here to really kind of ask the Holy Spirit. Don't just take my word for it, okay? But I'd love to be a part of a group of people who are kind of looking back at everything that we were taught. Because some of you were given, based on your religious practices, views on this that you might not keep for all of your life because they might be false. They might be wrong or incomplete. And so one reason why I want to take this time is now that we've come across and we've walked through this journey, I think what we found, guys, when we look at the Bible is we just don't see evidence that specifically states that any of these things Paul were talking about have come to an end yet. And that's a little troubling, I think, for some of us. Some of us it's exciting, but some of us it's a little troubling because some of these things we're not comfortable with. And some of these things we're too comfortable with. So what I want to present to you is I want to give you all this information. And 1 Corinthians 12, these are probably highly debated because people think of these as both Ephesians 4, which could be called offices of the church, or ministry gifts in the second part of 1 Corinthians 12. Sometimes they're debated. Like, I don't think these ministries still exist in the church. You know, you'll hear that. Okay, where in the Bible did it tell you that they stopped? Well, it didn't, but it's implied. That's the response. I'm not satisfied with that response. Frankly, I'm just not. And so I want you to see this ministry gift and to define these as more time than I have right now, but God has appointed for the church, the group of believers, these things, apostles, right? Sent out representatives, prophets, those who, right, reveal the heart, the will of God, the plan of God, teachers, those who take this information and have gifts to be able to send that, working of miracles, gifts of healing. Okay, we like those first four, but now you're getting weird, Will. Yeah, right? No, we should be, people in our church should, like, have these gifts of healing, should have enough faith that they're willing to pray. Because if you're in a church, get hurt and watch what happens. Most of us are just like, automatically, please help Will get better. Like, help the doctors to do the right amount of surgery. And although that can be healing, and sometimes that's God's will, in the church, we should have people who are like, I have enough faith, I'm going to get up there and say, Lord, what is it that you want for Will? And maybe it's like, just give Will comfort, and that's the prayer. And maybe I have to have the surgery, because sometimes your torn ACL needs surgery, right? But there's people that have these gifts, this confidence, this faith to do that, right? And then you have administration. We're comfortable with that one, right? I love what Dennis does, you know, and how he's helping us take care of, as a treasurer of the church, with the finances. We love that. It doesn't freak us out. We're excited about that, right? And then helping. Oh, yeah, we love that. Like, everyone chip in. Let's help. We love that. But then now, right, various kinds of tongues. I've spent a lot of time downplaying in the order of importance the gifts, because Paul is very clear, probably out of all of these, the least helpful for all of us is the tongues. Where that's most helpful is for the person who's praying in tongues to connect with the Father, right? But what Paul is saying is in our church, there's a place for people with that gift. Does that make you uncomfortable? Maybe. That's my new job, to make you uncomfortable, so you're welcome, okay? And if there's five of us left that really want to do this, cool, we'll do this. But thank you, Tyler. Would you go ahead and put that up there? Now let me see if I can take a few minutes just to explain this a little bit further here. So for today, this is what I want to give you. And some of you have heard this a little bit, but it's confusing. Okay? It can be confusing. So let me put it this way. What I've learned through studying and praying is I would say that at a Romans 12 list of gifts, the predominant gift that I have is one of exhortation. Okay? Now, that makes me a really bad director and a much better coach. But I went to college and I have a master's degree in business, so I've learned how to manage as a director. And so I've learned and grown in that. And so sometimes I do things that would make you think that maybe I would be like a teacher, right, which I teach every week, or like a leader or ruler, one who leads and rules over an effort, right? I do those things too. However, those aren't me at the core. How I lead is one who exhorts. Does that make sense? It's colored a little bit different. And so each one of you are put this way, and knowing yourself is huge. It's a huge starting point. It's not limiting. What I've also found is, I think it's fascinating that there happens to be seven of those in Romans 12, which If you've been part of Bible studies, you know 7 is the number for complete. And as a matter of fact, if you look at that, Jesus seemed to walk in and out of those perfectly through his life. And so for me as an individual, even though I start there as an exhorter, I want to be all those things. Man, I need some more mercy. Lord, help me. Right? I need the truth. I need prophecy, like that gift to be active in me if I'm going to be the pastor of this church. I better know, right? I better get this kind of revelation. So there's that, but I come from that place as an exhorter. Now let's move to 1 Corinthians 12, first section there. I need the Holy Spirit at times to manifest in me and use me. I've prayed and seen God done some healing type things. I'm not a healer. It wasn't me, it was God. But now that he did a couple things, I'm praying different. When I come to a hospital bed, it's changed how I look at it. Right, Brandy? This has changed how we're doing that. And now that I'm more confident to say that I can stop instead of just, right, the pastor always comes, you always pray the same thing, right? They come to your bed, help them to feel better. It's like always the same prayer. But now the Holy Spirit's teaching me different. And so I pray going forward, he might manifest in me in a different way. I might see more healing. You know, friends in the mission field, they were serving food, right? Right, Linda? Like serving food, and it was almost like feeding of 5,000. It was like there was more, the food kept going. It was like a miracle. Like, we need that at times. I'm not Will the Miracle Man, but I pray at times God would use me if I empty myself to be part and observe these type of miracles. So those manifestations, you know, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, utterances of wisdom. Please help the pastor have some utterance of wisdom at some time. And utterance of knowledge. We need that. We need our pastors to have at times distinguishing between spirits as people come and bring them these things. You need all of these. And as a matter of fact, I pray that God in your life will fill you and use you and manifest in your life in all those ways. But they're not for you to possess. Okay, now we move on to 1 Corinthians 12, the second portion, right? Verses 27 through 31. Now you have ministry. And this can get a little bit more like, because people say there's not a prophet. Well, it didn't say anywhere that the prophet ended. Sure, we don't have judges anymore, right? In America, we don't have kings, and we don't have like the prophet as the only person that hears from God. I agree, in our culture, we don't have those three things, but we do have leaders. We have presidents and senators. And I would encourage, and I would tell you that a lot of the problems we're having is the same thing that the Jews had with the kings, because they demanded kings and we've demanded leaders, and we're running into the same problems. There's still prophets there who have these gifts, who are able to hear from God and supposed to build up the body, and right? And there's definitely people who are sent, like Brittany in the back there, that's a representative for God that goes throughout the world. So there are sent ones, even though they're not the 12 that walked with Jesus. And if you send somebody else out, you better hope that they learn their motivational gift, and God uses their manifestation gifts to do the ministries he has them to do. Are you confused yet? Okay, that's fair. So going forward, I want to talk about maybe some more of the specific gifts. I want to talk about what the Holy Spirit does. But I honestly had to rewrite the sermon even last night to cut out a bunch of that, to just park here for a minute. I want to leave those signs up there. They're imperfect, but you can kind of take a look at it, and at some point in time, we may talk more about these things, but what I want you to do is, if we're going to venture into walking like by the Spirit, I think it's important to be taught how to look at this way. And if we look at it from a biblical standpoint instead of one that's based on religion or fear, okay? Things like this. To prophesy, you don't always have to say, "Thus saith the Lord," right? But in some of our churches, we've been taught to say that. And all prophecy doesn't have to come in King James English either, okay? Because Jesus didn't speak King James English, but some people are taught that. We got to throw that out. If when God is speaking to you, that it does come out in King James English, that's probably about you, and that's cool. Go ahead and say it. But know that that's not from the Bible. As a matter of fact, Jesus didn't speak the King James English. And you know, I know that's kind of like picking and joking, but seriously, right? In utterances of wisdom or knowledge, like, we'll frame it with, I have this word for you. That's what you're taught in certain circles. Also not from the Bible. The same thing could be, I prayed for you, and this is what God was putting on my heart, and I asked him if I should share this with you. Does that kind of make sense, what I'm saying? What I really want us to do is I want to put this all out there, because I don't want half a life with God. Here's what I know, man. There's like 90-year-olds who play golf and 40-year-olds who seem to be like 110 and can't walk anymore. And there's no guarantee of how many days that you get. And the fact that you've believed and you've been saved based on what I read in the Bible by God, now all that's happening from now until your last day is two things are happening. You were saved and you're being sanctified. You're being saved over and over again from the impacts of sin on your life and others. And the only way you're going to get through that is the Holy Spirit's power and the Holy Spirit's helping. The only other reason that you're here is to tell others about this hope that you found. But a couple problems exist. We don't feel hopeful. We don't walk in the Spirit. And we're really not changing. So in effect, we're waiting to die so then things can be good. I'm not presenting to you that this life is ever going to be easy, because that's not what Jesus said. But there's going to be a crazy amount of joy. There's going to be a crazy amount of celebrating. And sometimes you're going to be crying and smiling at the same time. And I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you see it important enough not just to stay at home, but actually to come and be part of a group of believers. And so what we have to do, guys, is we just got to walk with the Spirit and surrender with the Spirit. And if I can create some boundaries here to kind of help you walk this out, so that you guys will have lives. I mean, that's my prayer, right? Let me just pray it right now. We'll get worship team to come on up. I just want to pray it. Like, Lord, I want life. I want life. You've come, Jesus, that I might have life and freedom and grace, because you did the work. And now I'm called to follow you. And somewhere along the way, from when you walked with Peter and John and Matthew and them, like, they saw they saw who you were. And we've lost it, like in religion. We've made it once again about following rules or being afraid instead of following the Spirit. Jesus, forgive me, because I feel foolish trying to talk about something as big as the Holy Spirit, but to lay this out there as a foundation of truth. So Holy Spirit, teach us about you. Teach us about your power. Teach us about your gifts, sure, that you give to us. But Holy Spirit, I put all those aside right now just for you, because all these things only come from a love that I have for you and the love that you have for me. And so I just pray, Lord Jesus, I just pray that we would receive your love. Pray that we would just receive your grace. That we receive your goodness. That would receive your peace. pray that we'd receive your chastisement and your correction, because every good father disciplines his kids. And so, Lord, I praise you. I thank you for not giving up on us. I thank you for not quitting on us and not leaving us, no matter how far we've gone from you, but that you keep pursuing us little by little, and we even get distracted and excited about how you do that, the gifts and the manifestations, when we should just be excited about you. And so, Jesus, we're just going to sing some praises to you, Lord, and take this week and just take this piece and build on it. Lead us, Father, to be sons and daughters of the one true King, walking in power and truth and spirit and faith. Pray this in Jesus' name.